Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. In verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." To abide means to remain in. Okay, if you stay in my word, if you keep receiving my word, if you accept my word, if you respond to my word, you're my disciples indeed. And this next part is what we're getting at. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides you in truth. Sometimes people who have no experience with the Word of God will ask, well, how do you know how to interpret this? How do you know what this means? How do you know that it's telling you the truth? How do you know about the Bible? And the reason is because the Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. So anybody who is born again, the Holy Spirit can guide them in all truth if they are willing to be led in truth. He said, if you're his disciple, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, because you abide in the truth. Now, when the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, makes you free, then you are genuinely free. There are certain things that people have problems with that bring them into what we call bondage. Bondage is similar to slavery. You become a slave to something. You serve it, you don't want to serve it, you do it, you don't want to do it. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I do the things that I don't want to do, I don't do the things that I do want to do. He was very unhappy about it. Why? He was in bondage. Now, fortunately, he didn't stay in that condition, but for a while, he was in that condition. He needed the truth to make him free. We have this old sin nature. You can't help having that. You were born with it. It comes through the genetics, and we got it from Adam and Eve. So we still have a part as far back as Adam in our genetics, and that's our old sin nature. You're not going to lose your old sin nature until you go home to be in heaven. But until that time, you will have an old sin nature. That means until that time, you have the possibility of being enslaved to something you don't want to be enslaved to. In John 8:34, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Now, when we talk about sin, if you talk about it in the world, or with a lot of Christians, they think something terrible like stealing or killing or something like that. Something outward. And yeah, those are sin, that's true. But Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And this is a much more common form of sin than stealing or killing or whatever else the law is talking about. Okay? If I don't have the Word of God, and I'm not thinking with the Word of God, I'm going to become a slave to my old sin nature. If I'm not living in faith, then I become a slave to myself. And that's not a good thing. Some people who don't really realize what that means will say, well, heck, slave to myself. I serve myself all the time. Why wouldn't I be a slave to myself? Who am I going to be a slave to? Slave to yourself is dreadfully destructive. What does self produce? Self produces all kinds of sin. Self produces all kinds of misery. Self produces all kinds of frustration. Self produces all kinds of arguments and disputes. All the wars that ever existed were because of self. Every murder that has ever taken place was because of self. Everything that has ever gone wrong was because of self. Somebody was into self. Stalin, who was the communist dictator of the Soviet Union, Russia, and the countries around Russia for quite a long time. He lasted a long time. He was so into self that he killed over 30 million people just so he would not be removed or even have the possibility of having somebody disagree with him. That's how self-oriented he was. That he killed over 30 million people. That is a horrible dictator. That was incredibly wicked. Self is incredibly wicked. Now, that's not because each individual is walking around being wicked. It's because we have this wicked old sin nature. Everybody is capable of becoming the victim of the old sin nature. The Word of God is what sets us free from the old sin nature. When I receive the Word of God, I learn to think with the thoughts of God. And the old sin nature is pushed aside because the primary target of the old sin nature is my thoughts. So if my thoughts are protected by the Word of God, then the old sin nature has nothing to attack. If I'm getting tempted, for example, and that's a result of the old sin nature being targeted by the enemy. If I'm being tempted, that means my old sin nature is active. The Word of God will protect me from that. Because again, it's going to target my thoughts. So as the Word of God protects my thoughts, I'm protected from the old sin nature and I'm protected from a lack of faith and I'm protected from the enemy. In 1 John 5:18, whoever is born of God does not sin. Now that does not mean that a person is not capable of sin. Remember, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But what it's saying is they don't live in sin. They don't continue in sin. This is where you have to look at the original language and the grammar and stuff like that to really get the full meaning. So it should really read, whoever is born of God does not continue in the same sin over and over and over and over and over. They might stay in it a little while, but then the Holy Spirit comes and corrects them. And if they won't be corrected, then He'll discipline them. And if they won't be disciplined, He'll take them home early. But He won't allow them to just stay forever in that sin. So whoever is born of God does not continually sin. But he keeps himself. He that is born of God keeps himself. He protects himself with the Word of God. And then it continues, and the wicked one touches him not. So the Word of God protects me from my old sin nature. And from the enemy, from the devil. It protects me from the influences of the world. And the world is controlled by the devil. He is the god of this world system. Have you ever had somebody come and tell you to do something you know you shouldn't do? Or maybe you've had somebody do something that they shouldn't have done to you. The Word of God comes in and something comes against you that would do you some harm. And the Word of God said, we're not doing that. Nope. We're not going there. Nope. That is not right. That is an error. Nope. I'm not following that. Nope. Or it says, hey, that is truth. That is something I'm going after. It says, that is right with God. That is what I want in my life. The Word of God gives us this definition. The Word of God gives us this protection. The enemy can't actually touch us because we're owned by the Holy Spirit. He literally lives inside of you. You are His house. Well, nobody's going to touch God's house. And so because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you automatically have this fantastic protection. So what the enemy has to do is he needs to get your thinking to change to agree with Him. And then he can influence you to do things he would want you to do. Well, the Word of God protects you from that. The Word of God tells you what the mind of God is. The Word of God tells you what is wisdom. The Word of God tells you what is a safe and healthy thing for your life or what is a dangerous and unhealthy thing for your life. The Word of God tells you all truth. And so you live in the truth that is in the Word of God. You don't go along with what anybody says when it's against the Word of God. If it's in agreement with the Word of God, you recognize it. And you're entirely protected, taken care of. And not only that, it gives you very good direction. How do I make a choice? Well, the Word of God tells you that. What do I do in a bad situation? The Word of God tells you that. What do I do if I'm in this particular situation? You know what? The Word of God deals with particulars of your situation. It deals with the details of our life. God has a thought for everything, and the Word of God teaches you how to hear those thoughts. It gives you those thoughts. The Holy Spirit then guides you in those thoughts. Sometimes it'll happen, and this usually happens in counseling, because nobody can see another person's heart. And somebody comes and they ask for counseling, and you have no idea, right? And it happens, right? Somebody comes and they say, "Pastor, can you counsel me?" And I say, "Okay, fine." And I always come in there, I'm thinking, "God, I have no idea what the real story is here." But the Holy Spirit always shows me what the real story is. And it's not like there's some big booming voice. No, all of a sudden I know the reality of it. And there's clarity. He can do that for anything. Years ago, I was called for jury duty. And there was a situation where this man crashed his car into the side of this woman's car. And she was claiming he was at fault that he was careless. He was claiming she was at fault, she wasn't obeying the laws for driving in that area. She wasn't respecting the conditions of the road and the things that signs and lines and things on the road to help you were instructing. Now, I wasn't there. So I asked the Holy Spirit, "God, what's really going on here?" And he told me, which is always both fun and surprising at the same time, right? And he told me, and he said just as clear as day, now this was not loud, this is in your heart. When you hear the Holy Spirit, you hear Him in your heart, you don't hear Him in your ears. And he said to me, "She's trying to skin him." He said, just like that. I never knew God uses language like that. But He does. He said, "She's trying to skin him." And as I was listening to the trial, because he had told me that before the trial started, because at the beginning of a trial, they introduce the situation to the jury, and then the trial begins later. And as I was listening to the trial, I realized, you know, she really is trying to skin him. She is lying through her teeth. And I knew she was lying through her teeth because what she was saying about the signs and things on the road, but I knew the area. I drove there every single day. I knew it very well. I knew that area like the back of my hand. And I knew what she was saying about the driving conditions on that part of the road was a lie. That is not how they were. And she was trying to skin him. But you see, that's the thing about truth. You'll know the truth. It'll set you free from things like error, from lack of knowledge. Ignorance. It'll set you free from your old sin nature. You can't get rid of your old sin nature, but you can get rid of its influence. It doesn't have to have any influence over you. And if it crops up, then it sets you free from the guilt of it. It sets you free from condemnation. It sets you free from being dependent on other people in the wrong sense. Have you ever seen somebody, I'm sure you guys have, that were always very concerned what somebody thinks about them? The Word of God will set you free from that. It's not that you don't care about the people, it's that you're not worried about their opinions so much. The Word of God can set you free from absolutely anything. In 1 John 1:9, one of the most wonderful things that the Word of God sets you free from is your own error, your own sins, your own mistakes. It says there that if you confess your sin to God, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin. But the word forgive in the original language actually means to forget, which is also what Hebrews 8:12 says, that God forgets our sins. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That means that even before I was born, my sins were forgiven. I never have to be in bondage to any mistake I've ever made. I can be completely released from it. I can completely forget about it because God completely forgets about it. In Psalm 103:12, He removes it as far as the east is from the west, which is from one side of the universe to the other. But more importantly, it also means from time. God removes it from time. That means I don't have to say to myself, 5 years ago or yesterday or whenever, I did this, and it's always in the back of your mind, and you're always feeling a little bit guilty, a little bit less than, and you're always like, God, I don't know if you'll accept me as much as you usually do, until you realize that He does, because He doesn't even know the sin has been removed. That's tremendous freedom. Everybody sins from time to time. Hopefully not terrible sins, but even if they're terrible sins. No one has to be enslaved to the memory of their mistakes, of their failures. The Word of God will set you free from it. That's some of the worst bondage there is. Nobody has to be in bondage to other people's failures. That also happens. Somebody does something to you, and yeah, maybe it was wrong. Sometimes it is wrong. And then that poor person stays in bondage to that, sometimes for decades. When the truth is, the Word of God could set them free. And it does set them free as soon as I start abiding in the Word of God. Remember, as soon as it starts to remain in my thoughts, I become completely free from anything I have done, from anything anybody else has done. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Word of God gives you this eternal perspective, seeing things the way God sees. Sometimes Christians are in bondage to uncertainty. Uncertainty can be rough. Maybe you know that God is calling you into something, but you're not 100% sure. You don't have that complete confidence. Well, when you have an eternal perspective, through the Word of God, you're not afraid of uncertainty. Because you know that God is ordering your steps. And that what appears to be uncertainty to you is simply the result of not having perfect knowledge. But God does have perfect knowledge. The Word of God tells you about how much He loves you. The Word of God tells you about how much He takes care of you. And you don't have to worry about whatever uncertainty you may have. You just ask God for wisdom, ask God to direct your steps, and then you can have complete assurance that He will, regardless of what you know about your situation. God is extremely faithful. He will always take care of you. In Jeremiah 29:11, His thoughts are for you, they're not against you. He's thinking only good things about you. In Isaiah 43:4, you're precious in God's eyes. In Ephesians 1:6, He completely accepts you just as you are. There may be times when you have to wait. Everybody gets that sometimes. There may be times when God says, wait. But as you wait in Isaiah 40:31, you actually get strengthened. You grow, you develop in the waiting process. This comes through the Word of God. All of the benefits come through the Word of God. In Romans 8:4, we walk not after the flesh, not after the old sin nature. We walk after the Spirit. And the way we do that is when the Spirit guides us in all truth, because we abide in the truth. And when that happens, you will become the freest person that exists. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are like. It doesn't matter what people are like. You will have complete freedom because God makes you free. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.